We serve a good God, and as we sang earlier, He's a good Father. He's a good Father. This week I was preparing a sermon continuing on our imitating Christ, becoming more like Him, and this morning as I was typing out my sermon, I was busy with it about half an hour into it. The Lord just spoke to me. So I'm not going to preach that, but preach something else. I believe really God wants to speak to us this morning as fathers, as husbands, and future fathers and husbands. He is a good Father. God is a good Father. And his desire for us is to be good fathers. Because He's a good Father. And right from the beginning, when He created man in His image and likeness, His desire for us was to multiply that throughout the world. And this morning, I also believe God wants to impart not just an example, but the grace that enables us to be who He wants us to be. God doesn't call us to be anything that He is not able to enable us to be. And that's why He's given us grace. That's why He's given us His Holy Spirit. That's why He's given us anointing. And this morning, I want to share specifically with the men and the fathers here about God's heart for us as fathers. Not forgetting that He is the good Father. And that He wants to enable us to be the same. To be good fathers. So today, forgive me if I speak to the fathers and not to the mothers. I love being a man. I love being a father. I love being the hero, the superhero, the provider, the protector. The one that leads. I'm grateful. I don't know what it is to be a woman. I only know what it is to be a man. And I'm grateful for that. But I also realize there comes great responsibility with that. I remember as a young man, one of my favorite artists was Sting. And he used to sing a song, "The Englishman in New York." I don't know if you know him. But in that song, one of the lyrics goes, "You know, it takes more than a license to own a gun." And he said a lot of things in that song, but he spoke about the fact that you know, just having something doesn't give you the right to be something. It takes more than that. And so too with being a man. Sorry, this thing is not working nicely. I'm going to switch over. We have been given a responsibility with that. And it's not to do with our gender, but to do with the office that God has given us. God has given us an office, and He has given us purpose within that office. And when we fulfill that office, there is great blessing in it. But with that comes responsibility. And that is what Gordon Summers was trying to convey. He says, listen, if you have a rifle, there comes responsibility with it. And so too in fatherhood, you know, we have an office as husbands and fathers to lead and to govern and to protect. And in that comes great responsibility. But in fulfilling that responsibility with the grace of God, there comes great blessing with it also. And it's with that that I want to share with you this morning. We are the head, we are the leader of our families, but there are three areas in which we must lead. And it's always easy to stand on that position. You know, I hear so many men say to their wives, you know, but I am the head of the home.
therefore I will lead. And that is true. And there are three areas that we are called to lead in. And these things I've shared about in the past in different contexts. So this morning I'm just going to throw them all together. The three things that as fathers we are called to lead in. But also with the understanding that God has given us this role, this purpose, but He has also given us the grace to fulfill them so that we don't have to do it in our own strength, but in His strength. And as we pursue Him in His purpose for us, He also enables us to live that to the full. So I want to share that with you this morning. They are very obvious, but three things that I believe is very important. Because at the end of this service, I also want us to pray for us as fathers, for God's grace to enable us to lead in these areas, so that we can also receive the blessing that it has for us. The only thing that we need to receive God's grace and blessing in these offices is our willingness to pursue it. That's what you need. You need a willingness to pursue what's God's purpose for life. And His grace will enable you to do that. And you will reap the blessing of it. So let's continue with just exploring those three things. Firstly, the very obvious ones. As husbands, as fathers, God has called us to lead spiritually. God has called husbands to lead spiritually. And I think that is so important to hear, to remind ourselves on this day, that what we already know, but an opportunity to recommit ourselves to the purposes of God for us as fathers and husbands. And the first one is that God has called us to lead spiritually. Right from the beginning, when God created everything, the whole of creation, and He decided, but we're going to create something uniquely different. We're going to create humanity. We're going to create man, male and female. We're going to create them in the image and likeness of God. God, in His wisdom, decided He's going to create Adam first. He's going to create the male first. And it's so interesting to see God's wisdom, but also God's responsibility in that. It's easy to say, yes, but I was created first. So I have preeminence. I have importance. But with it comes responsibility. God created Adam first, and you know what God did? He came to Adam and He explained to him purpose of life, the meaning of life, relationship with Him. He gave him also dominion, and then He gave him responsibility. He said, everything that I've created in this garden is for you to enjoy, and I want you to tend to it. Actually, God gave Adam work, and I just want to declare to the men out here, especially the young man, work is not a curse. It is not a consequence of the fall. It was there before the fall. Work is a blessing. God created us with purpose, but with also responsibility to work. So we are meant to work. It's not a curse. It's a blessing. So God created us and gave us, gave men work, gave men responsibility. He gave him responsibility to garden, to keep the garden. But also, as you see, He also gave him responsibility to give identity. I mean, He called Adam and He said, listen, yeah, I want you to name all the animals. It was quite a great task if you have to think about it. But Adam was given the responsibility to name all the animals. In other words, he was given responsibility to impart identity. Keep that in mind with your children. You have a God-given responsibility, purpose to give identity to that what is around you. The words that you speak has meaning and powerful from this office. But beyond that, God also gave man the command. The only command at the time, and that was that everything in this garden is yours except the one tree in the middle of the garden. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You shall not eat of that tree. Because if you do, you shall die. So the responsibility of the commandment was given to man, not to Eve. As a matter of fact, the commandment was given even before Eve was created. So God gave man a responsibility. He gave them work and he gave them the commandment. And then God left man to himself. And then after man started to live out his responsibility, it soon became very clear that something was lacking. As a matter of fact, after a while, God looked at man and he said, "You know what, Adam? It is not good that you are alone. You need, I can see very clearly, a helper." It's the first not good in creation. Everything was made good and man was very good. And then he left man on his own. And then God said, "This is not good. We cannot leave man on his own. He needs a helper." And we know what happened. God put Adam to sleep, and out of himself he took a rib and he made Eve, created Eve. And then Adam woke up like John, not really knowing what happened. And then he saw Eve and he was very excited. He said, "This is very good. This is very good. Bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Someone like me to help me." Never forget that, gentlemen. It is not good to be on your own. God has given us a blessing. A huge blessing. Your wife is a blessing to you. She is created for the purpose to fulfill you and to help you so that you can be complete in everything. Therefore, we must honor and respect them for that, because that is why they were created. But then came the fall. And we know the account of the fall, how Satan came to deceive humanity. And sin entered into the world through an act of disobedience. And we know what happened, and I'm not going to go too much into that, but what I want to focus on is what happened immediately after the fall, after guilt and shame took hold of humanity, and we hid ourselves from God because we were naked. And God came down the garden as he usually did, seeking man, seeking fellowship, seeking the relationship that's always been there. This is the all-powerful, all-knowing God that sees and knows everything. And so interesting, he walks down the garden and he knows man is hiding. So he goes to look for them. And then he asks this question. He says, "Where are you?" And then the response of Adam is, "I'm hiding because I'm naked." And God asked Adam, not Eve, he asked Adam, "Adam, what have you done? What have you done?" And it's so powerful to see that God goes to Adam and asks account for the fall, not to Eve. This is God knows all things, sees all things, and he goes to Adam. Why does he go to Adam? Because to Adam was committed the responsibility of the commandment, not to Eve. Adam was given the commandment before Eve was even created. And at the fall, even though Eve was the one who took the first bite, it was Adam's responsibility to communicate that word to Eve, the commandment. And she did receive that, as we know the account, because when Satan came to deceive Eve, he actually questioned not just God's word, he actually twisted God's word, and he came to Eve and he said, "Is it true that God said that you cannot eat of any of the trees in the garden?" Testing Eve. And Eve gave the right answer by saying, "No, God says we can eat of all things except the one tree." So Adam did his responsibility to communicate the word of God, but where Adam failed was to protect the word of God. So man's responsibility is not just to lead spiritually, to communicate the word of God, but also to protect spiritually. And that is where Adam failed, because when Eve was busy with Satan, Adam was right there, because after she took a bite, she turned around and gave it to a man, and Adam ate also. So it was Adam's responsibility spiritually to lead. Not just to communicate the commandment, but to protect the commandment. Husbands, fathers, it is your responsibility as the head of the home to lead spiritually. It is not your wife's responsibility. Sadly, many wives take up that responsibility because husbands do not. But it is our responsibility to lead spiritually. Not just to communicate the Word of God, but to protect the Word of God. And from that time on, we see how man responded to the fall. The first thing when God asked Adam, "What did you do?" we see our human fallen nature coming to the fore in its most clearless way by blame shifting. First thing Adam said to God in response to Adam, "What did you do? What did you do?" Adam's response was, "It was the woman you gave me." Not just the woman's fault, but actually, God, it's your fault because you gave me this woman. Now look what happened. No, Adam, it was your responsibility. And that's why throughout Scripture we see that sin came through Adam, not through Eve. Sin came through Adam because it's Adam's responsibility to communicate and to protect the Word. It's man's responsibility to communicate and to protect the Word of God. Husbands, fathers, it is our responsibility to lead spiritually. If you would pursue that, if you would be willing to do that, there is grace in this office to do that. You do not need to be eloquent. You do not need to be educated. You only need to be willing to lead spiritually, and God's grace will enable you because you were being designed. You were created for this. So I want to encourage you, fathers, to lead spiritually. How do we lead spiritually? Well, I'm just going to give you three things because as men, we don't remember that much. That's why we have our wives. She will remind you of the rest. But three things that we all can remember. To lead spiritually means, first of all, you need to set the example. You need to set the example of the commandment, of your relationship with God, of the way of God. You have to set the example in reading the Word. You have to set the example in praying. As fathers, our children learn far more from our example than from the words that we say. It's scientifically, psychologically proven that children receive far more from what they see than what they hear. Maybe that's why you also have to say to them three times before they do something. But what you live is what makes the greater impact in your children's life, far more than what you say. So first of all, leading spiritually means you need to set the example. You need to set the example in reading the Word. You need to set the example in prayer. So that when your child walks into your room, into your secret place, they see their father spending time with God. They shouldn't receive only from others, but from you. So first of all, you need to set the example. The second thing is, you need to communicate the Word of God. In other words, you need to take the lead in having family quiet time. This is very obvious, but yet today I think so important. It is the husband's responsibility not just to set the example in following God, but to also communicate the Word of God. So it is our responsibility to actually have study, Bible study, quiet time, family devotions. It's very important. And again, it's not our wives' responsibility to take the lead. It's not our wives' responsibility to do that. It's the husband's responsibility. Fortunately, if this is overwhelming at this stage, you have a helper. She can help you to set the atmosphere, the logistics, the environment, but you need to be willing. It's our responsibility. And if you want to make it even more practical, I would suggest find a time where you and the family are always together. It used to be at night, But today, with business and sport and all kinds of things happening, I think breakfast is the best time. Wake up together. I think most of you do, especially if you're young fathers. Your kids will wake you up, and later on you will wake them up. Or first they wake you up, then you wake them up, and then they wake you up again. But anyway, you'll get there. But the best time for devotions is straight after breakfast. While everybody has their porridge, sit together, whether it's breakfast or dinner. Get a time that you're all together, and normally it's around food. And then at that time, take the opportunity to share out of the Word of God. Read together. Whether it's the Bible, or there is so many resources out there that helps with family devotions. But take the responsibility and impart into your children. So that following God and a relationship with God is something that they see you do and something that they see you lead in, so that they will follow in it as they grow up. That's our responsibility. The second thing that we are responsible to lead in is the fact that we are responsible to be the lover in the house. Now that's good news for the men, isn't it? You are called to be the lover. It is our responsibility to facilitate the relationship at home. Now this may come to a shock to some of you, but it's not your wife's responsibility. It's a God-given responsibility to the husbands to love. It is our responsibility to love in the house. It's our responsibility to take the lead in loving, to take the lead in relationship, which includes communication and affection. It is the husband's responsibility. Now, if you are willing to pursue it, there's grace for you, no matter what your personality is, to be able to do that. But again, sadly, we see how the devil managed to infiltrate the world, and where husbands no longer lead spiritually, the wife has to lead spiritually. And where the husband doesn't take up the responsibility to love in the house, the wife has to do that. And in some households, because men abdicated its responsibility, like in the garden, the wife has to take up that responsibility. But that's not God's desire. His desire is that husbands should lead spiritually and that we must love. We must love. It is our responsibility. Now, in Ephesians chapter 5, we know it so well, the role of the husband and the wife and the mystery behind it. And God speaks clearly through it. As I say, always three verses to the wives and about seven or eight to the husbands, because we need to hear everything twice before we listen. But to wives, he says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For as the husband is the head of the wife, so also Christ, the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. This is a challenge to some, but fortunately, this is not Mother's Day. So, let's just go right over that one. Husbands, it's Father's Day. Husbands. Now, we were talking over the past couple of weeks about imitating Christ. Okay? Imitating Christ. Here it says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands, wives, your responsibility is to respect, to submit, and to honor the husbands. But husbands, your responsibility is to love your wife. It is your responsibility. Husbands, we are meant to take the initiative. We are the ones that are meant to organize the dates. We are the ones that are meant to organize the weekends away. We are the ones that are meant to make sure that there's time in our schedule for our wives. We are the ones that are supposed to take the initiative in the romance. We are the ones that are meant to buy the flowers, not just on Mother's Day. But it's our responsibility. And if you are willing to pursue that, there's grace to make you the best lover ever. And if you forgot how to do it, just remember the time when you dated her. And it will all come back to you. Because we were all there once. Remember the time when you saw this girl amongst all the other girls, and your knees were weak, your heart started to pump faster, and you started to think all dizzy because you saw this girl and you said, that girl I want for me. And if you're very Christ-like or Christian-like, you would pray for it all first. Say, God, is this the one? But it's always out of response of seeing the one, wasn't it? First you saw, you liked, you asked permission. Hopefully first to God and then to the parents. But you pursued the goal. And clearly you were successful. So you know what to do to win the heart of the girl next to you. You know. Because for weeks you were studying this creature, trying to find out what she likes, and then you became an expert in that. You started to buy flowers, buy tickets to classical music, orchestras, whatever she did, ballet. Guess what? You became a boffin. You started to like it. So we all know what it takes to win and to love. If you're willing, God's grace is there to enable you. But it is our responsibility to keep love alive in the marriage. Husbands, don't forget that. Love your wife. Love your wife. Spoil her. Bless her. That's our responsibility. Jesus says, husbands, love your wife as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. In other words, we are called to love our wives at the cost of ourselves. Because that is the example Christ set for us. He says, in the same way Christ loved the church, we ought to love our wives. So we need to lay down our lives for her at the cost of ourselves. Practically, what does that mean? It means we need to give our wives what is best for her. What is best for her. Not as what's best for me, but is what is best for her. I need to find out what is the best for my wife. I need to know what is her dreams, what is her desires, and what would be the best for her and the family. And I must be willing to lay down, to sacrifice my dreams, my desires, to see hers met. That is the way we meant to love. So find out the needs, which, knowing wives in general, they're very good to communicate. So just listen. Listen. Listen with a desire to meet the needs of our wives. That is so important. Listen to her desires, but also to understand her. You know, Scripture says that we must live with our wives with understanding. In other words, women change, apparently. Mine does. I can only speak from my wife. She's not here, so I can speak freely. But they change. You first meet them as a young lady, and then they become a mother, and then all of a sudden everything changes, and then, you know, children grow up and they change again, and they constantly change, and that's probably to keep us busy with this adventure of figuring them out. Okay? But to understand them, it is our responsibility to understand our wives. You know, I had a gentleman calling me and says, I don't understand my wife. She has this need. Please, I'm sending her to church. Will you take care of her needs? Honestly. And I'm saying, yeah, okay, send her. But I want to have a meeting with you because it's your responsibility. But in the meantime, yeah. But it is our responsibility as husbands to understand our wives. So we have to figure them out. And yes, it's a lifelong journey because they never stay the same. But it's our responsibility. You need to love them with their love language. If you've read the five love languages, you know what I'm talking about. You need to understand what are the things that makes her tick. Is it time? Is it gifts? Is it physical touch? Is it holidays away? Is it surprises? Is it flowers? You know, you need to figure it out. And you need to love her the way she understands love. And if it is the flowers and the quality time and the date nights, then that's what you do. Then you must pack your tent away if you like camping. Because she likes guest houses. She likes the comforts. So put away the tent and go there. It's our responsibility to love, to cherish, to understand. And like I say, it is not hard to remember. Just go back to the first things. If ever you want to get things flame up again, just go back to your first love, the way you loved her in the beginning. It's guaranteed to work again. Just persist in doing that. So, husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. What a powerful statement. So, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one has ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. Now, this is some amazing things, the Word of God, and one can relate it all back to the beginning where Adam says, you know, to God about Eve, this is flesh of my flesh, and, you know, this is taken from me. Speaking of this mystery, but also the purpose of creation, that God has created us to be together. But husbands, understand this one thing. Loving your wife is not just the right thing to do. It is the best thing to do. It is the best thing to do. It is the best thing to do for you. Because in loving your wife, you are feeding your own soul. It is to your benefit. It is to your benefit. You were designed to do this. As a matter of fact, the opposite is also true. If you do not love your wife, you are injuring yourself. You are injuring yourself. It is to your benefit to love your wives. You will prosper in doing so, and you will be prospered. But the opposite is also true, that if you do not love your wife, you will suffer. And I think most men can identify. If you don't love your wives, you will suffer. But if you love her, you will benefit. I will stop there. So love your wife. It's good for you. For we are members of his body and flesh and of his bones. And for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband's. And this brings me to the third and final aspect. Marriage is meant to be a reflection. It's meant to be a reflection. It's meant to be a reflection between the relationship of God and the church. And I'm reminding us husbands of all these things that we've heard so many times before, but today is Father's Day, and I'm doing it for your good. Because if you're willing, God's grace will enable you, and you will reap the blessings of it. Our love relationship between husband and wife, according to the Word of God, is far more than that. It is a mystery. It is a reflection of something far greater, and that of the love of Christ and the church. And that brings us to the third point, is that our responsibility as fathers, as husbands, is to be a reflection of the good Father that loves us. And as a father, he has given us the privilege to also be fathers. so that we can reflect Him as the one who loves us. So that we have the opportunity to love in the same way as we are loved, that we are meant to love our wives and our children, so that they can see something. I always say the way that husbands love their wives and wives their husbands is meant to teach our children who God is. Because that is what Ephesians says. It says, wives, you must submit to your husbands as Christ does to, or the church does to Christ. And husbands, you ought to love your wives as Christ loves the church. In other words, you need to imitate that. And there's a purpose for that, is so that our children will grow up understanding the love of the Father, the Heavenly Father. Husbands, we were given the responsibility to love. We were given the ability to love by His grace, but we were given the responsibility to do it in such a way that it may reflect who God is. We need to love our wives in such a way that our children will understand one day what a Heavenly Father's love is. The way you love your wife, the way you love your children, will either help your children to connect with God or will become a stumbling block to your children to connect with God. And if you've been in the ministry long enough, you will hear very sad stories that breaks your heart. And you see so many people that struggle to connect with God because they had an abusive father. If I heard it once, I've heard it 1,000 times. People understandably struggling to connect with God. This concept of a loving father because they had an abusive father that was drunk and beat them all day long. Now they come to accept Jesus Christ and they hear about this father that loves them and how difficult it is for many to connect with the Father God, to trust Him, to surrender to Him, because the earthly father was everything but loving, anything but trustworthy. But if you are a loving father that cares and protects and are there to comfort, to forgive, to heal, to restore, it helps your children one day to connect to who Father is, the real Father. The way you love your wife opens their hearts to see the beauty of God's love for us. And that's why the loving our wives is such a powerful act of worship. Because Ephesians says we must love as Christ loved us. And we must love as unto Him. So loving your wives becomes an act of worship. It becomes a testimony to our children. That's why God hates divorce. God hates divorce not because it's a greater sin than any other. He hates divorce because it does not reflect who He is. It does not reflect the forgiveness, the unconditional love. It does not reflect who He is. And you know what divorce does more than anything? It destroys something in our children. And we see it so often how people struggle. Because they come from broken families. Because it does something to the children. When they see mommy and daddy no longer love each other. When they see mommy and daddy screaming. And then finally, mommy and daddy not forgiving. Hating. Divorcing. It breaks something in our children. It's not that they cannot be healed. It's not that they cannot be restored. But it does something. It does something. So the way you love your wife is meant to be a reflection of who God is. So that our children grow up with a healthy understanding of a father's love and affection and protection, forgiveness and grace. We need to model that as husbands. And if you are willing to pursue that, there is grace to enable you to do that. Because that is what God has called us to. If you're willing to pursue it, God's grace will enable you to live it, to reflect the Father's love. I understand that one day, and I said it before, my daughters are going to leave my home. And they're going to look for an husband. They're going to search for a man either like me or unlike me. My girls are going to leave my home looking for a man either like their father or unlike their father. They're either going to have a clear picture of what a loving husband is meant to be like, or they're going to be unsure. They're either going to be looking for something that they've experienced all their life and they saw the fruit of it, or they're going to look for something unlike the fruit of it. They'll either be drawn to my example or looking for something else. But if your girls leave your home unsure of what a good husband is meant to look like, if they not have a clear definition in their mind because of what they saw and experienced, believe me, some other punk will give them the definition of that. It's our responsibility as husbands, as fathers, to love our daughters, to love our wives, to love our wives in such a way that our daughters will know what a good husband looks like. Because you know what? I counsel too many young girls, Christian girls, that marry unbelievers and suffer the consequences because they wanted to look for something that they did not find in their own homes. So fathers, it's our responsibility to set the example so that our children will have a clear definition for us as fathers, how to love. You know, fathers, if you have daughters, give them affection. Physical affection. Hug them. Kiss them. Play with them. I know they're not boys. I only have girls, so I don't have guns in my house. Shucks. I have Barbie. Huh? Barbie. And makeup. And ballet shoes. I grew up with just one brother. I don't know about girls, but I had to learn quickly. But I want to encourage you, fathers, be affectionate to the girls. Hug them, kiss them. Fill their tanks, emotionally and physically. You know why? Because if you don't do that, they will go look for it, and again some other punk will give them that. So we need to love our girls. We need to love them so that their little tanks are full and they don't go look elsewhere. And if you have boys, you must discipline them. Yeah, discipline them. In this country, I'm still allowed to use the word spanking. Soon I won't, but so for now, give them a hiding now and then when it's needed. You know? Help them to respect women. Teach them. Teach them to respect. Teach them to honor. Teach them how to treat other girls. Teach them how to treat a lady and how to love a lady. So that when they leave your home and they knock at my door, they stand a chance. You know? So teach them. Teach them. We need to set the clear definition for them so that when they leave our homes, they know what they're looking for in life. Fathers, become the husband you would like your son and your daughter either to be or to marry, that they may know. Become, if you have daughters, the husband you want your daughters to marry. That is our responsibility. And fathers, if you have boys, set that example so that they know how to be a husband when they come to that place. Because we want God-fearing, God-loving, people-serving young men in our communities. I'm looking for men like that for my daughters. Please train them so that I don't have to chase them away. But it's okay because I don't want them to marry, but they do. So let's help each other here. And if you want a pre-booking, speak to me. I do La Bola. Goed. But the greatest blessing of being a father, when we are willing, God's grace enable us to be what we've designed to be. But the greatest blessing is legacy. The greatest blessing of fatherhood is legacy. That what continues beyond you. You know, Abram was the father of faith. And his legacy is everyone that believes. He left a legacy that continued beyond himself. What legacy are you leaving behind as a father? Because the powerful thing about legacy is to see that what we have imparted, that what we have lived for, the way we have lived, the manner in which we loved and served, to see that continue in our children. There's no greater joy. There's no greater joy to see what you have lived for continue in your children. That is the greatest blessing of fatherhood. So I want to encourage you, that is your God-designed purpose. Is to live, to love, to serve in such a way that not only reflects God, but continues in your children. And today we have an opportunity as fathers just to remind ourselves of this awesome privilege and the grace that God has given us to live it so that we can receive the blessing of it. As we see our children grow in that. So I want to ask us to do something special today. I want us, for just a moment, for all the fathers, just to stand again. I want us just as fathers, just to stand. And this great privilege that God has given us, to reflect Him, to love like Him, to serve like Him, to impart of Him in our children, that that may continue from generation to generation. And I want us that are around these men, I want us to just lay hands on them. And we're going to ask God's grace and His anointing and His love and His ability to fulfill that calling that God has placed in each and every one of these men. So I want us, just all of you, just go around somebody, everybody. Find a man that is standing. Let's lay hands on them, and we're going to pray a blessing over them. There are three things that we are praying for. Three things. It's to lead, it's to love, and it's to give. Those three things. To lead spiritually, to love godly, and to give an example. So that we as fathers leave this life with a legacy that will continue. Amen? So, as you are standing, as you are laying your hands on these men, let's pray for them for those three things. To lead, to love, and to give. Let's do that. Bless them. Speak a blessing over them. Speak that anointing over them. Speak that ability over them. The willingness. Just pray for them. Everybody find somebody. Let's just pray for them. Father, thank You for these men that You have called to legacy. Lord, thank You for Your love and Your grace that will enable each and every one as they pursue Your purpose to empower them to be the Father that You are to us. Father, thank You that from this day as we commit ourselves again to follow in leading, loving, and giving, that You will enable us to do it in such a way that it will continue far beyond us. Lord, thank you for children that will become men and women, that will become husbands and wives, that in turn will love each other in such a way that their children may see you in the way they love each other. And you will receive all the glory, and truly your image and your likeness will multiply throughout this earth to your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen.